Christians have power through reliance. That seems to be a contradictory statement, but it's true. Here's Pastor Al Pittman to explain.
The advantage that we have is our total reliance upon the Holy Spirit's ability and not our insufficiency. I'll say it again. The power that we have is total reliance upon the Holy Spirit's ability and not my insufficiency, because I can only do so much. I am limited and you are limited. And a lot of times God brings us and allows things to happen in our lives to bring us to the end of ourselves where we say, God, I can't do it. And he says, I finally got you where I want you, where you're totally dependent upon me.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
This is The Dwelling Place, and we'll hand the program over to Pastor Al Pittman in a second. We're currently surveying the book of Acts, and we'll be looking at the first several verses of chapter 2 today. As we're about to see, there was one major outstanding tool that the early church employed in their relationship with God that many of us today sadly neglect: the Holy Spirit. What we read here in Acts 2 is the appearance of the Holy Spirit as he descended on the early church. To tell us more, here's Pastor Al.
He's not just ghost or some it or whatever. He's a person. Also, another liberal theological thought is that the Holy Spirit is a she. God is not she, he's a he. I'll just tell you real quick. The Bible says he's Father God. Amen. And I know we're all confused about gender today, but that's a he. Amen. He's Father. So the Holy Spirit is a he, because he is the Spirit of the Father that lives within us, God the Father. Yes, here's the third thing we might want to take note of, and that is the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. So, oh, got you there. There's no word Trinity is not in the Bible. And so, yeah, but the definition for it is. He is the third person of the Trinity. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word — who's the Word? Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? And the Holy Spirit. And these three are what? One. There's your Trinity. As vapor and ice and water are the same, are they not? Yet appear in different forms, so is the Trinity of God. Defined this way, another way: one God, but three co-eternal persons, co-substantial, that is, of the same substance. What is that substance? Three substances that's only ascribed to God or attributed to God. He's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Amen. Only God can do those things. Now, what do those words mean? They're great theological words. We're going to break them down and show you why we have an advantage in the Holy Spirit. There are characteristics that only belong to God. The Spirit of God living in you, it is God living in you. The Bible says, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit abides within you. It's his house. Amen. And he lives within us. How? In all power. He's omnipotent. The Spirit is omnipotent, meaning all powerful. Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's not power to do what we want to do. It's power to glorify Jesus Christ. And so he dwells within us with all power, which tells me also that I'm never powerless, but he's given me power to be transformed. I don't transform myself. The Holy Spirit does it. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6, it even says of King Saul. King Saul would later forsake the Lord, would sin against the Lord. But when he was anointed king, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon him, and Saul, King Saul, became another man. The Holy Spirit is able to transform. And then the power that he's given to us, Holy Spirit being all-powerful, has given us power, gives us power to perform. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says that, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. How do we live this Christian life? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that resides within us. He has all power. In other words, we are never defeated in him. The advantage that we have is our total reliance upon the Holy Spirit's ability and not our insufficiency. I'll say it again. The power that we have is total reliance upon the Holy Spirit's ability and not my insufficiency, because I can only do so much. I am limited and you are limited. And a lot of times God brings us and allows things to happen in our lives to bring us to the end of ourselves, where we say, God, I can't do it. And he says, I finally got you where I want you, where you're totally dependent upon me. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, Paul says, now to him who is able? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Praise his holy name. He works in us according to his power. He's all powerful. I was driving down this morning. I was looking at this building as I came in early this morning. And I said, God, if I had seen this 20 years ago, I never would have believed it. That you're able to do this. Now, some of you have come here and you said, oh, I've seen better sanctuaries. And so, let me tell you, all this was a field of weeds 23 years ago. And I came out here with my little lawnmower. I thought, well, you know, before Sunday comes, I'm going to kind of clean the place up. All these tall weeds out here, man, let me cut them down. And, man, there's rebarb in the ground. There was, you know, beer bottles and cans all over the place, liquor bottles. You know, this was the place for people to come hang out, I guess, and throw their empties out or whatever, you know. And I got my lawnmower out there, and I was cutting the grass and cutting those weeds and all. Man, I busted up my lawnmower, you know, but I got those weeds down. This building over here that we were in, it was all boarded up. All that nice glass we got there for the cafe now and all that was all boarded up with gray plywood. People thought it was an abandoned building. We had a little sign up on top of the building, Calvary Chapel, you know. And, you know, it looked like an abandoned building, so much so people would bring their trash here and dump it on the side of the building over there. Oh, we might as well dump it here. This is a dump, you know. I mean, it's very challenging. I look at what God has done. How? By the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen? And I drive up now and I see what the Lord has done. Don't you dare put Al Pittman's name on this building or any place in this place. God has done this. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Nobody has done it but Jesus Christ. I thank God. It's by the power of his Holy Spirit. I couldn't see it, how God was going to do it, but he did it. Praise his holy name. He's all powerful. What are you hoping for God to do in your life? Not only that, he's all-knowing. He's omniscient, all-knowing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The Spirit goes deep, searches the deep things of God, all-knowing. No one knows the mind of God but the Spirit of God. Amen? And he knows, therefore, because he's all-knowing, he knows what my need is. He knows what our needs are, but here's the deal. He will provide for those needs, but he does it in such a way that it magnifies and glorifies Jesus Christ. Yes. You see, God, I've got some financial issues, and if I could just win the lottery, see, we could get this handled. Then I could tithe a little bit, and then everything, you know what I'm saying? We have that easy route, that quick route. I got a solution, Lord. We have our solutions, don't we? But God tells us to wait on him. Why? Because the just shall live by faith. Amen? And we live by faith in the Lord. And so God doesn't, he's not going to let you win the lottery. Stop praying that prayer. Because he wants you dependent on him and not the lottery. Amen? Amen. So that Christ can be glorified. So when the miracle happens and he brings you through and people say, how did you do it? And you say, nobody but Jesus. Amen? He gets the praise and he gets the glory. Amen? He's all-knowing. He knows what your situation is, but he's going to work it out in a way that brings glory to Jesus Christ. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. Oh, I've seen it hundreds of times in my own life. Isaiah says in Isaiah 43, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. Isaiah was talking about the Red Sea, how God delivered the children of Israel through the Red Sea. You know the story. You saw the movie, Ten Commandments. Moses stretched his rod out. The sea parted. The children of Israel went across on dry land. The Egyptians tried to follow them, and they were swallowed up by the Red Sea. And Isaiah is saying, God knows the way through the sea. I shared this last service, and then I went upstairs and found an article on it. But, you know, you can research it yourself. But there is a land bridge they discovered many years ago in the Red Sea. And possibly the children of Israel crossed over on that land bridge that was in the sea. They didn't know it. They just saw the waves. Ain't no way. We're going to die today. God made a way in the sea. God has a land bridge for you in the sea of your trials and your tribulations. Why? Because he knows all things. Amen. He's all knowing. Amen. That's what Isaiah is saying here. He makes a way in the midst of the sea. Amen. Because he knows all things. God made a way for the children of Israel. He's going to make a way for you.
Pastor Al will be back in a moment with the second half of today's message in Acts chapter 2. The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported radio outreach. We realize that the pandemic has disrupted everyone's life, including financially. But there are ways you can support this ministry that don't involve finances. Praying for us is one way, and perhaps the most important way. Please pray that people struggling through the coronavirus pandemic would be led to listen to The Dwelling Place, and that the Word of God would become real in their lives. We would also like to pray for you, and you can send us your prayer request by going to our website, cwccs.org, and clicking the Need Prayer tab at the top of the page. That's cwccs.org. Now here's Pastor Al with the conclusion of today's message, titled, Promises Fulfilled.
We can trust in the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit is God. And God knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46:10 tells us, we have an advantage. You're not at a disadvantage. You have an advantage. So much so that no weapon formed against you will prosper. You know, Isaiah says that God created the blacksmith who makes the ornaments or whatever. I mean, he's created that person. You know, God's in charge of everything. Therefore, if God's in charge of the one who's, you know, bringing down the hammer and making these things, he says, no weapon formed against you will prosper because he's created all things. He has dominion over even the people who are coming out against you. He's got dominion over them. That's what he's saying. And he said in Isaiah that this is the heritage of those who trust in the Lord. What heritage? That no weapon formed against you will prosper because God knows everything. It's all in his control. We can't see it, but he makes a way when we can't even see. We cannot even see. We have an advantage in our journey through this life. We're not at a disadvantage. We are never lost, and we're never without hope. We serve an all-knowing God. And the last thing is the Spirit of God is omnipresent. He's omnipresent. What does that mean? He means he's everywhere at once. Amen. Only God can do that. He's everywhere at once. He's in the world. He's in this world plagued by loneliness, this world plagued by abandonment. People have been abandoned. This world plagued by betrayal. People have been betrayed. And yet, in the midst of all of that, the Lord is there with us. We have an advantage. I know the person walked out on you. I know they, you know, you lost your job or whatever it might be you may be going through. Listen, the Lord has not abandoned you. He's ever present. He's present with us emotionally. He's present with us physically, mentally, and spiritually. We are never alone. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's in that emotional pain, that physical pain, whatever we're going through. The Lord is there. The Bible says we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with us in our weaknesses. That word sympathize, it means that he's able to feel what we feel. People come to you and say, oh, I know how you feel. No, they don't. Because pain is personal. But Jesus feels exactly what you feel right now. He's a high priest who's able, he knows how to intercede for you. He knows what you need. Nobody feels what you feel like Jesus. Jesus knows what you're going through. And he's ever present no matter how, what emotional trial you're going through or whatever it might be, he's there with us. There's no long distance relationship with Jesus Christ, amen. No long distance relationship. You don't have to look him up on the internet, amen. And then, you know, plan to meet him in another city, amen. Hallelujah. You know? I know sometimes people have done that. And if you've done that, God bless you. Amen. We find somebody on the internet. We go, oh, you know, fly all the way out there to meet them. And they don't look nothing like the picture they posted. Amen. You know, bait and switch, you know, switch, whatever, you know. And you out there, I got to buy a ticket to go home now. Amen. But thank God, it's not a long-distance relationship. We're not trying to, you know, connect on the internet with him or whatever. It's personal. Why is it personal? Because the Bible says, and we just went through the holiday seasons, that Emmanuel is with us. He wants us to experience Emmanuel. What does that mean? You know what it means. God with us. God is with you. God is ever present no matter what you're going through. God is with you. We have an advantage in him. He's a present help in time of need. David said in Psalm 46, verse 1, present help, real time. Not, well, I'll get back to you next week or take a number. You're not at the DMV. Amen. Amen. And he's a present joy. David said, in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. Amen. The application I want to leave you with today is this concerning the Holy Spirit. And I want to give you eight, what I call amenities, sticking with my illustration in the beginning, eight amenities of the Holy Spirit, eight works, if you want to call them that, of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is not limited to eight, but these basic eight works you can find in the life of every believer and you find in the world. And so let me go through them quickly and then we'll wrap things up. But number one, the Holy Spirit has come, was given to us to baptize us in Christ. We're baptized in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6 is not on the screen, but Romans chapter 6 says that we're baptized in his death that we might live according to the power of his resurrection. Amen. We're baptized. When you come to Jesus Christ, you're baptized in him. Jesus told a religious man, Nicodemus, you must be born again. In other words, you must be born of the Spirit, Nicodemus. And for us to come to Jesus Christ, we must be born of the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. How does that happen? You don't go back into your mother's womb, as Nicodemus sarcastically said. But you're born by the Spirit of God. There's a transformation in your life. And we are sealed in the Spirit. So we're baptized in Christ by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus said we would be baptized in him. And then the second thing, amenity, if you will, of the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit has been given to glorify Christ in our lives. In John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, speaks of the fact Jesus said, listen, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will not speak of himself, he will speak of me, he will glorify me. Holy Spirit, we don't glorify the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is glorifying Jesus. If somebody's glorifying the Holy Spirit, you know, and just, you know, all they're talking about is just what the Holy Spirit, they never talk about Jesus, they're probably not talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is going to always glorify Jesus. Yes. Amen? Amen? Glorify him. The Holy Spirit, thirdly, has been given to sanctify us. That's an ongoing process. God is still sanctifying us and working in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says that he sanctifies us, or sanctification, rather, of the Spirit comes so that we can be obedient. It's for our obedience. Sanctification is for our obedience. In other words, it's a lifetime, it's a lifelong journey. It's not like, oh, I finally reached this place and Holy Spirit just leave me alone now and I'm good. No. All the rest of your life, he's there to sanctify us. He's a personal trainer, amen? He's that trainer that'll come knock on your door and tell you to get out of bed and do 10 push-ups or whatever. I mean, he's going to work on your case, amen? Perfecting in us the likeness of Jesus Christ. The fourth thing is the Holy Spirit, of course, has been given to the world and given to us as well to convict us of sin, but to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. John chapter 16, verses 8 to 11. The Holy Spirit is working in the world. A lot of people want to deny the existence of God, but I wonder sometimes, and why do you try to hide your face when you're doing that perp walk into the jail? Well, if there's no shame in the world and there's no God, where does that conviction come from? Where does the shame come from? It's the Holy Spirit working in the world, whether they know God or not, to convict men of sin and of righteousness and judgment. The fifth thing is the Holy Spirit is given to us for fellowship. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says there, if there's any fellowship in the Spirit, we should have fellowship with one another. Fellowship in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. We fellowship here at Calvary Worship Center, the Church of Jesus Christ fellowships, not around our ethnicity, not around how we dress or demographics or anything else. We fellowship around the fact that we are in the Spirit. There's fellowship in the Spirit. Walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. Amen? And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So the Holy Spirit's been given to us so that I can have fellowship with my brother no matter where he or she comes from in the world. We have fellowship. Why? Because it's in the Spirit. And then number six, the Holy Spirit's been given to us to liberate us. What the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now let me just say this. I'm running out of time, but I'm going to say this real quick. The Holy Spirit's been given us for liberty, not for insubordination. And a lot of times people think, well, I'm in the church. I do what I want. What God told me, you know, rebelling against church authority and all of that. That's not God. That's insubordination. That's disobedience. And it's never going to work to your good, according to Hebrews chapter 13. Amen? And sometimes we think it's the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit, not the goofy spirit. Amen? He's not somebody, you know, people come to church. And I've been in churches where, you know, people have gotten up and, you know, I love to express myself and worship the Lord and dance about a little bit. But, you know, people get up and start running around the church, doing laps in the sanctuary, amen. Pastor pull out his timer. All right, you know, breaking records, you know. There he goes. You know. And I know we've been in some churches like that. We think, oh, well, I was just moved by the Holy Spirit. I couldn't help it. The Holy Spirit hit me. The Holy Spirit never hits anybody. He fills us, amen. He doesn't hit us, because everything that should be done in the church should be done decently and in order, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, check it out. Decently and in order. Well, I just can't help it. Listen, isn't one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit self-control? Amen? Now, that's a whole nother message. We'll break that down some other time. Amen? But when people talk about, oh, I'm liberated in the Lord, it doesn't mean that you should be out of order or insubordinate. Amen. God, I hate that. I need more time. And the Holy Spirit was given to us to equip us for battle. Micah chapter 3, verse 8 said, but truly I am full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And Micah spoke the truth to Israel in their rebellion. We need the power to battle against the darkness in our day and to speak the truth of God with boldness. And so the Holy Spirit has been given to us that we might know how to battle. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and darkness in high places. Amen. But through the power of God, through the sword of the Spirit. Amen. We're able to do battle against the enemy, the word of God. And the eighth thing is that the Holy Spirit has been given to us that we might love each other. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. There are eight amenities, if you will, and maybe you didn't get all of them, whatever, but there that you can write down, but the Holy Spirit working in our life. Therefore, we are never at a disadvantage. Amen. Well under the care of the Holy Spirit. Here's my question today. We have received this Holy Spirit as we have received Christ. We received the Holy Spirit when we were born again. The question is, what have we done with the Holy Spirit?
Let's go down that checklist one more time. What happens when the Holy Spirit dwells in us? 1, we are baptized in Christ. 2, we glorify Christ. 3, we're sanctified. 4, we're convicted of sin. 5, we have fellowship with one another. 6, we're liberated. 7, we are equipped for battle. And finally, 8, we love one another. Let's strive to have a check mark next to each of those as we go about our lives as Christians. We hope that you've been blessed and challenged and encouraged by today's message. If you'd like to hear this message again, you can listen, watch, or download with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it as a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that if you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and the current schedule we have for limited access live services at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Now, here's a special message for you from Pastor Al.
Hi, this is Pastor Al Pittman with Calvary Worship Center. I'd like to ask you honestly how your life is going. Many people are troubled today by broken relationships and addictions and painful personal issues. That is what can happen when you run your own life. The Bible says there is a way which seems right to a man, but it's end is the way of death. Let me offer you a better way. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you can make a major change today by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Simply by repeating this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and change me. I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, please contact us at cwccs.org/Jesus, and we will send you free information to aid you in your new life in Christ. God bless.
Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.